Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we pray for you every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. And this evening at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests, because we are always here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into our sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your
Amen. So let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And this, at this time, I will play another selection.
Bye. No, hold on to
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. So now it is time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Okay, so my title for this message is Difficult People. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 7 and verse 18. Amen? Where it says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise make knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool bleaches out foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. There is treasure in the house of the godly, but the earnings of the wicked brings trouble. The lips of the wise give good advice. The heart of a fool has none to give. verse 18 says, a hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. Amen. Praise be to God. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Proverbs 15 and 1, where it says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The writer says, Lucy Worsley is a British historian and TV presenter. Like most people in the public eye, she sometimes receives nasty mail in her case. Over a mild speech implement that makes her R's sound like W's. One person wrote this, Lucy, I'll be blunt. Please try harder to correct your lazy speech or remove R's from your scripts. I couldn't sit through your TV series because it made me so annoyed. Regards, Darren. For some people, an insensitive comment like this might trigger an equally rude reply. But here's how Lucy responded. Oh, Darren, I think you will use the anatomy of the internet to say something you probably would not say to my face. Please reconsider your unkind words, Lucy. Lucy's measured response worked. Darren apologized and vowed not to send anyone such an email again. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs say, but a harsh word stirs up anger. While the hot-tempered person stirs things up, the patient person calms them down. When we get a critical comment from a colleague, a snotty remark from a family member, or a nasty reply from a stranger, we have a choice to speak angry words that fuel the flames or gentle words that douse them. May God help us to speak words that turn away wrath and perhaps even help difficult people to change. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. Think of a time you got defensive with someone. And why do you think you reacted that way? How could you respond differently in God's power? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, give us the ability to respond to quarrelsome people with patience, with gentle words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and you're listening to Pray One for Another. And this is our sweet hour of prayer, where you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. Praise be to God. And at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle Adi Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and participate in our lesson, please feel free to do so. Again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection, Jesus at the Center of It All, by Israel and New Breed.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the be the center and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Every
tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Ah!
Jesus.
Disciple, I will trust you, I will obey your teachings, and I will share your good news. You have given me life abundant and life eternal, and I will follow you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that's all it is. You just call in your prayer request, and we will pray for you, with you, and right beside you. So I'm sure there is someone out there who has a prayer request for somebody in their families, in their homes, a stranger on the street, or your neighbor, or even for your enemy. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart to ask for prayer, God love it when we talk to him. He love for us to bring our problems, our wants, our needs to him and trust in his holy name. Amen. Again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection, Lord, You Are Holy, by Helen Baylor.
As I look around and I
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the
problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and
of everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
him
and
him I live, I move, and have my name.
Say like this, bless the people.
Bless the people.
Come on, lift them up in here.
Oh, let them rejoice.
Control.
He's in control
and he knows
everything.
I'm the victory
for him. I have the victory
for he is my king. In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this
and sing
it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
If you believe that,
my
sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Oh, lift him up, rejoice.
And shout unto him.
And shout unto him.
The Lord you called him.
We have all but to triumph. And we know we will rule in the end.
Say it again.
Lift
the people.
Oh, lift him up, rejoice.
Come on, someone shout.
And shout
with the voice of triumph tonight.
We have all but to triumph. And we know we will rule.
He dwells in the midst of his people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you high in all the earth. Let's do it together, all the sinners, all over the world.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Higher and higher.
Higher and higher.
Come on, that's where are you?
Lift him up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it. Lift him up.
Dear Lord, when the quickening pace of life leaves me with little time for worship or for praise, help me to reorder my priorities. When the demands of the day leave me distracted and discouraged, let me turn to Jesus for the peace that only he can give. And then, when I have accepted the spiritual abundance that is mine through Christ, let me share his message and his love with all who cross my path. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Time I will play another selection. After the selection, we will go into our Bible study at that time. Amen. Praise be to God. My help comes from the Lord. Amen.
From whence cometh my help? Help cometh from the Lord, Lord which made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved, or that he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And no shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore, evermore. My sister, see.
Sun shall not smite thee by day.
all of my help comes from the Lord. Praise be to God. Woo, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. Now, at this time, Amen. We are going to go into our Bible study or our theology class or whatever we want to call it. Unfortunately, our very own Apostle Wiggins could not be with us this evening. So our very own.
She's here. She's here.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. But I'm going to miss Sister Barbara.
Good evening.
Amen.
How's everyone doing?
Bless, thank you. I thought you was going to teach the class tonight, but Pastor is here.
It's all right. Good.
Amen. Well, should I play another selection while we're waiting for him to connect? Or is he there? Okay. So, let's see. A very short selection while we're waiting on our very own Apostle D. Wiggins. Okay. This is one that we haven't heard in a long while. Can't Love You Enough by Alicia.
You've been so
Amen. Praise God. We're still waiting on Apostle to get connected. In the meantime,
he said
I'll
we
play
can get started.
Oh, okay.
He said we should get started.
Okay. So, Sister Barbara.
Okay, I'm going to open the prayer. Good evening,
Amen.
Once more to everybody. I hope that everyone is all right this evening. Blessed and highly favored with yourself. Dear Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day that we've never seen before. God, we thank you for your mighty works, your awesome power, your faithfulness, your unconditional love, your favor, your compassion, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you are just awesome. You are just good. You are just all alone in your mercy and your might. So, again, we thank you for everything you have done, and I give a special thank you for justice right now in the Derek Chauvin case, for seeing the justice done for the killing of George Floyd. We thank you, God. We just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your unconditional love and your compassion. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, and I ask also to forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just continue to be as awesome as you are, and we will do the same. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, our lesson is coming from chapter 21. We started last week, just the two of us, talking about the ministry of angels. So we're not going to go through everything, but we talked about, number one, in relation to God. Number two, in relation to epochs or epics. Number three, in relation to the ministry of Christ, being at his birth, during his life. And we're at part C now, after his resurrection. So we're going to start at part C, talking about number one, the stone. An angel
do you mind
rolled
going
away. Excuse me?
Do you mind starting from the beginning?
Okay. The ministry of angels, basically and essentially, good angels are servants.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hebrews 1:14. God sends them for service or help, diaconian of believers. And so serving the angels function as priestly messengers, liturgica pneumatata, in the temple universe of God. So number one, in relation to God. In relation to God, angels' primary ministry is to worship and praise him. A, they praise him. And if you would get Psalm, Nadine, Psalm 148, verses 1 through 2, and evangelists
yes.
get Isaiah 6 and 3.
I'm sorry,
anyone
Isaiah.
Else on the line, Jake?
No,
so,
Jake is
Isaiah 6
I have
and 3.
One two.
Okay. Evangelist Isaiah 6 and 3.
Okay.
You can start.
Psalms 148. Praise Yah, praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Amen.
Amen.
In Isaiah 6 and 3.
And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen.
Amen. And I think I asked last week, what kind of angels would that be? Nadine, what kind of angels would that be? They praise them.
The seraphim.
Right. Thank you. And B, they worship. What's that? They worship him. Hebrews 1:6. Evangelists get that. And Lady Nadine, Revelations 5:8 through 13. They worship him.
Hebrews 1 and 6 says, where are you? Okay. Hebrews 1 and 6 says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Amen.
Amen.
So what comes to my mind is, and I guess we kind of, I mean, you know, the difference between praise and worship.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't really know if I know the difference between praise and worship.
Aren't they the same?
Okay. No, no, they're not the same.
Oh.
What is praise? What is praise?
Well, I praise is giving honor to people, encouraging them, saying good things to someone. Just glorifying them.
Mm-hmm. So in relation to God.
Right. So in relationship to God is just, you know, telling God how wonderful he is, how magnificent he is, how he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. I mean, talking about his attributes and, you know, that's what praise is, how I interpret praise. I mean,
okay. Evangelist, what do you think in relation to praising God? What is that to you?
They're like Nadine said, praising God, and they're also like God's helpers.
No, I'm not talking about the angels. I'm talking about what is praise.
Oh, praise. Well, like mm-hmm. we give praise
Let me say what I'm in relation to God. What is praise? They praise him.
Well, they're praising him. They're worshiping him. They're giving him honor. And he is, you know, the master, the creator of the universe. So they're
okay, so they
him.
Extol him. They say good things about him.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, Evangelist, what is worship? They worship in relation to God. What is that?
Worshiping is like you worship, you bow down to a person and worship them, and like you say, holy, 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 that's worshiping and praising God.
Okay. All right, good. Nadine, what is worshiping God?
So worship is, you know, where you just adore, you have reverence for, out of your adoring and reverence to God comes the praise. I think it's like, you know, you need to worship him, and out of your worship, out of your adoring him, out of your loving him, out of your reverencing him, praise comes.
Okay, when you're worshiping him, are you also maybe shouting and making a lot of noise and, you know, running around and that kind of thing?
Well, that I would put under praise.
All right.
Shouting
all right.
and running around. I would put that under praise. But I think worship is a little bit more hard. It's like, it just comes from the heart. Like, you worship God in the things that you do, like, because you have reverence to God. You worship him by studying his word. You worship
mm-hmm.
him by giving. You worship him by showing, you know, by just showing him, you know, that you thought that he is Lord of your life, like he is in total control of your life. That's how I see worship. And I think, you know, running and shouting and just hallelujah, and, you know, that's just a buildup of praise for him, for God.
Sister Bobby, you still there?
I just went on to Google it. I just want to get a more precise answer. So what do they say? What is praise and worship? Okay, in the Bible, praise is usually presented as highly spirited, joyful, and uninhibited. God asks all creation to praise him. So, and that, I would say, that would be like maybe running around and, you know, doing a little dance, or, you know, getting a shout on and all of that. On the other hand, worship goes deeper than praise. It's something that comes from the spirit. It's often said that it is an attitude or state of the heart. So it's a little more subdued, and it's maybe even more quiet. And as was said by Nadine, that it's a reverence, it's respect, it's just coming out of your very soul, your admiration for the goodness of the Lord. Okay?
Thank you.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a wonderful question. Very good, very good. Let's go. Thank you. And then now we want you to read Revelation 5, 8 through 13, if you would, please.
Yep, absolutely.
And then as she's preparing that, evangelist, get ready with Job 38, 6 through 7. Thank you.
And you when and when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one of whom had a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they were singing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slaughtered and brought people for God by your blood." And I don't know why. Hilda, if you have yours, go ahead and read it, because I got to get this, my thing closed out.
Oh, okay.
Revelation
5,
8 through 13. No. Revelation 5, 8 through 13 is what she was reading.
No, that's mine. I told her to read Hebrews. You read Hebrews already until I get 8 through 13?
Not Hebrews, Job.
Mine's closed out on
Hebrews
it.
Yeah, Hebrews was read already. Hebrews 1 through 6
was
read.
I have it now. I have it.
Okay. Yeah, Revelation
when he had
5,
taken
8
through 13. Mm-hmm. 8 through 13, yeah. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, for you were slain, and purchase of God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, and every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them." I heard them say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever."
Amen.
Amen. So what were they doing?
This was worship.
Amen. Amen. Everything under the sea, above the sea, here, near and far, we're worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're going to go to see. They rejoice in what he does. Job 38:6-7, Evangeline. He's
what,
talking about the angels still.
Amen. To what were its foundation fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Amen. That was God
Amen.
Talking to Job. Job.
Amen. Indeed, they serve him. If you would get Nadine, Psalm 103, verse 20, and Evangelist Revelation 22 and 9.
Okay.
They serve him.
Bless Yahweh and his angels, you mighty heroes who do his word by obeying the sound of his word.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Revelation 22 and 9.
Oh, 22. My bad. Oh, I got it. 22 and 9 says, "Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." Amen.
Amen. So who's that talking about there?
Oh, that's the talking about Revelation. That's God talking to the angels, right?
Who said they talking about serve him?
Oh, the angels.
All right. What kind of angels do you think those might be?
Which one of them? Oh my goodness.
Are they praising him? Are they guarding him?
Oh yeah, those are the seraphims.
What are they doing? They're praising him when they serve him?
No, they're worshiping him. That's what it says in 22.
When they're serving him, they're worshiping him. Okay. All right. So those are, what'd you call them? What kind?
Seraphim.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. So they're serving him. And E, if you would get Nadine Job 1:6 and Evangelist get Job 2:1, they appear before him.
Okay.
Job 1:6.
And it happened one day that the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came into their midst.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And 2:1, Job?
2:1 says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong.
Amen.
Again, no, that's 22. Okay, 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So they appear before God, these angels. And Satan. Was Satan an angel?
Yes.
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, because he was a fallen angel, but he was still an angel of God, even though he was fallen. And obviously he still had entry into heaven. You know, God didn't block him from coming into heaven or coming into his presence, but he definitely
okay,
was.
But now this was in heaven when he came before him, that what was just read. It wasn't heaven.
Where was it?
What did you just read?
It says, I read that, and it happened one day that the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came into their midst.
Okay. Let me take out my book. Job 1:6. And this is the message. 1:6 says, one day when the angels came to report to God, Satan, who was the designated accuser, came along with them. God signaled out Satan and said, what have you been up to? Okay, so they came to God, which is what you said, they were in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I never could, because one part it says when God asked him what he's been doing, he says going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. He did say that's what he was doing, but he was reporting it. Well, you know, God mm-hmm. is everywhere, but particularly the discussion that that God had, let me see, 1:6. It says the angels, the phrase is used as angels elsewhere in scriptures. Note Genesis 6:2. The interpretation harmonizes with the fact that Satan himself, an angelic being, joined them on this occasion.
Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Okay, so I guess that's in heaven. I never thought of it as being in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, 2:1 says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. All right. So we're going to take it that they were in heaven. I just never kind of thought like that.
Okay.
But I'm learning along with everybody else. Okay, so where we at? F, they are instruments of God's judgment. They didn't get 7 and 1. Evangelists get 8 and 2. Revelation 7 and 1. And Revelation
7 and 1
is
the sealing of the 144,000. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Evangelist, 8 and 2.
8 and 2 says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Amen.
Yes. Thank you. All right. So they are instruments of God's judgment. And what are they going to do with the evangelists?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
What to do with the trumpets?
Oh, they're going to sound the trumpets. You know,
all
like
right.
Saying they're...
And different...
That's how I sound, Hilda. How I sound, Hilda.
They are going to... they are going to highlight certain things that are about to transpire. Very good, very good.
I like that.
In relation, angels appear to be unusually active when God institutes a new epic in the sweep of history. What is an epic? Don't answer, Evangelist. We talked about this last week. Is
I don't know. I'm about to Google it
because
I have no idea.
No, don't Google it. I want you to use your head first. Then if you don't get it, then you Google it. What is an epic?
Something different, a new idea, a new approach. I don't know.
Okay, Evangelist, you recall?
Not really.
Okay, an epic is a start of a new era, like they talk about the Victorian epic, when things were, you know, women wore the long, you know, billowing dresses and, you know, whatever they wore. That was an epic.
Okay.
And some people call it an epoch, but
epoch.
We're calling it an epic. All right? So it's a different time. And so how long is an epic, Evangelist? Do you recall what we talked about?
No, I didn't write it down.
You didn't have to write it down. Put it in your head.
The amount of things I have in my head, you think I could remember from 1-2 weeks ago?
Nadine?
I don't know. A distinct period of time. How long is it?
3 million years.
3 million?
How many?
Is considered an epic.
It's how many years?
3 million.
Whoa. Now you know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know. 3 million. I'm going to write that one down.
3 million years. An epic. Okay. So we're going to go on to A. Joined in praise when the earth was created. Job 38:6-7, that was already read, but we're going to read that again. Nadine, read that. Evangelist read it the first time. They joined in praise when the earth was created. Job 38:6-7.
On what were the bases sunk? Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars were singing together and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
That's it?
Like, where were you? That's it.
Okay. Because I'm not following along in the word. I'm just...
No,
okay.
No. Yeah, that's it.
What do you think about that? they joined in praise when the earth was created.
So yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the angels were around. They were, you know, they were there in the beginning of creation. So they were just like, yeah, they were praising God for what he did.
Ooh.
Like, it's good. As God said, it was good.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. B, they were involved in the giving of the Mosaic Law.
Mm.
Didn't know that. Galatians 3:19. Angeles.
Okay.
Nadine, when 2, please.
3:19 says, why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Amen.
Did you know that? Yeah.
No.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Someone pointed it out to me in Exodus. Somebody pointed that out to me in Exodus. Yes. And if I can't remember the chapter and the verse, but the verse actually does say that the angels spoke to Moses. And I don't remember the verse, but I'm going to.
I never heard that. I always heard that when Moses went up Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger on the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard any mention of the angels telling Moses what God was saying. So that's a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the second time he went up for the law, for the commandment.
They didn't say when. They just said in giving up the Mosaic Law. So to me, that means like the first time.
The Mosaic Law is the Ten Commandments. It's the first time, yeah.
When Moses was so upset that they were making the golden calf, he dropped
it and broke it.
And so God made him carve them out the second time. But the first time, it looks like the angel had something to do. But then again, when we talk about God, sometimes we're referring to what?
Jesus.
Any ideas?
Jesus.
Anybody? I didn't hear you.
I said Jesus.
Yeah, that too, but I'm saying when we talk about God making an appearance, sometimes it's an angel.
Yeah.
When Jacob was with the angel, we say, says that was God. Amen.
Amen. He did.
Yeah, when he was it Jacob? Right, it was the angel that he was battling with. But
when
also,
Jacob wrestled with the angel, people, you know, sometimes they interpret that as God. And some of the scripture says the same thing, that it was God he was wrestling with. And when he asked him what his name was, he wouldn't tell him. When Jacob asked him who he was wrestling with, the angel didn't tell him. All right, Hebrews 2:2, Evangelist.
That was me.
That's not, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But if the word spoken through angels was binding, and every transgression and act of disobedience received a just penalty. So the word, if the word spoken through angels was binding, and every transgression and act of disobedience received a just penalty.
What does that mean to you?
It means that as the, you know, the words that was spoken by the angels in terms of the transgressions of people. Disobedience, it received a just penalty. In other words, what God had given them, which was the Mosaic law. That was the word that, and it was binding. And because the Israelites were disobedient, and they received the just penalty.
All right. So when they, and us, when we transgress the law, there are consequences.
Right.
It's punishment. And it may not be immediate as we see in Genesis when the serpent told Eve that, yeah, God is lying. He's not going to, you're not going to die. Was that a true saying or what do you think? Evangelist, was that true?
What, that they would die? Well, physically they wouldn't die, but they'll. Spiritually, they would.
Okay.
Second draw. I found the verse. It's Exodus 3, verses 2 through 4. And we've probably read this 100 times. I will. I will read it.
Thank you.
Exodus 3,
verses 2 to 4. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, and here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But that's the, it's just standing on holy ground.
Moses,
read that again, please. Exodus 3 and 2.
Okay. Exodus 3 verses, well, it says 2 to 4, but it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush.
Mm.
And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed.
Okay.
So it was the angel of the Lord that was.
Gone.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, gone. What about it?
So the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flaming bush. So that's what he saw was the angel of the Lord.
Okay.
And
go
but
ahead.
It does say, and God speaks to Moses from the flame in verse 4.
Okay. So it seems like, as I was saying before, with it being said that God did such and such. But when you really look at it, it says the angel was with Jacob, and now we see the angel was in the midst of the burning bush, but it said that God spoke to Moses and even told him, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. Amen?
Right. But
so
this,
the angel,
amen.
And oftentimes mm-hmm. that angel is capitalized, so that either means it's Jesus or it's God. All right, but we know the story from childhood that God was in the burning bush and God told him to do, thus and such. Amen. Thank you for
right,
that. I wrote it down, Exodus 3, 2 to 4. Yes, ma'am?
Right, but as B says, it says they were involved in...
Didn't hear you. Got cut off.
We didn't hear you.
Are you there?
We just lost her. She'll be back.
Okay.
Maybe.
She got time.
Oh, it's only, we got 8 more minutes.
She got time to get back on. Okay.
Yeah, she does.
So we're going to go to C. They were active in the first advent of Christ. So we're going to look at Matthew 1 and 20 and 4 okay. through 10. She back?
No, not yet. Matthew.
Okay, you get 1
and 20.
Matthew 1 and 20, and I'll get 4 and 11.
Okay. Matthew 1 and 20 says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay, here we go. Okay, she's back.
Okay. You okay?
411. I don't know what
yes,
happened.
You okay?
I don't know why I cut off.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back.
I just realized I'm talking and I realized I was cut off. I'm like, what happened?
I know. What were you saying? You recall?
I don't know.
All right. So we want you to read Matthew 4 and 11. I'm going to read that again. They were active at the first advent of Christ, talking about the angels again.
Yes.
Matthew 4 and 11.
And 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began ministering to him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the advent of Christ? The first advent of Christ.
I think it's based on 4 and 11, it was right after Christ's baptism where he begins his ministry. The beginning of his ministry?
Was it? Or was it... Well, Matthew 1 and 20 says that as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that was like the beginning of
I think it's like that was the beginning, that was his birth, right? And
no,
the
okay,
other
let
me read
during, that was beginning of his,
ladies, let me read you what the Google says. Advent,
okay.
From Latin,
mm-hmm.
Adventus, coming. It's coming. That's in parentheses,
okay.
Quotation marks. In the Christian church calendar, the period of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, and also of preparation for the second coming of Christ in Western churches. Advent begins on the Sunday nearest to November 30th. So the Advent is what?
The coming.
What is the Advent? Right. The Advent is the coming of Christ. It's a season of the liturgical year observed in the first Christian denominations as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the nativity of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ. So that's spoken of as the first advent of Christ. So what does that mean, Evangelist?
Oh, I don't know.
I think we're seeing here the coming of Christ's birth in Matthew and
but
the coming of Christ.
Yeah. But
ministry.
That was when he was conceived, when the angel came to Joseph to tell him not to, not to be afraid to take Mary. Because what?
Right.
But that's what.
Because her birth is, you know, is of the Holy Spirit. It's not, you know. Human flesh is of the Holy Spirit.
So
but that's
who
a period of
that
preparation.
They,
that's a period
right,
of preparation.
So, Yeah, the preparation. Okay.
Right. So evangelist, so who was doing the telling to Joseph?
The angel.
All right. So the angels were doing what, Nadine?
Preparation.
About what?
Preparing for the coming of Jesus.
In other words, what's another word for the
Advent.
Coming of Jesus?
Advent.
Who's that?
That's Nadine.
That's me, the first Advent.
Okay, so what is the first Advent of Christ?
His birth.
It's his preparation.
Thank you. So the angel was telling Joseph about the first advent of his son, Christ, at Christmas. And so what is the second?
But also, right, but by the time you get to Matthew 4, you know, it looks like it has two meanings here. Because
okay.
Matthew 1 and 20 was the first advent. It was of his birth.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
Matthew 4:11, he was already born. This is preparation before he started his ministry. 4:11.
Okay.
Then the
4:11. This is after the temptation. The test was over. The devil left. And in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, again, the first advent was officially the announcing of his birth
mm-hmm.
to Joseph. And then the second advent is when?
Well, I don't know if you call that a second advent.
We don't.
Because
so when is the second one?
Right.
So when is the second one?
Well, he hasn't come. It's the second coming of
All
Christ.
Right.
Would be.
Mm-hmm. So we're waiting, patiently
right.
waiting for the second advent. He came already. He's coming.
Yeah.
Now we're waiting for the second advent, the second coming.
Right. Amen.
All right. Wow.
Oh, hey. We're getting there.
These, okay. They were active during the early years of the church. All right, Nadine, get Acts 8:26 and 10:3. Evangelist, get Acts, what? 10 and 7?
No, 12
and
12 and 11.
11?
No,
huh?
Nadine have 26. No, 8 and 26. And then you want me to do 10 and 3 and 7?
No, I want you to do 10 and 7 and 12 and 11. I want Nadine to do 8 and 26, 10 and 3, and you do,
gotcha.
Evangelist, 10 and 7 and 12 and 11.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Acts 8 and 26.
Yes.
Now,
talking
angel
about,
of
they
the
were,
Lord.
Wait. Sorry. They were active during the early years of the church. We're still talking about the angels. Amen?
Right. Early years of the church. Okay. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go towards the south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And then 10 and 3
What
says,
kind of road? What kind of road?
It's a desert. Desert.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
Desert
Thank
road.
You. Mm-hmm.
And 10 and 3 says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Evangelist 10 and 7?
10 and 7 says, as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. Amen. That's 7.
Right. And 12 and 11.
12 and 11 says, Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. Amen. What did they plan to do to him, Peter?
To Peter?
Yeah.
They planned to behead him, but he escaped.
Oh,
they beheaded his brother.
Oh, Peter's miraculous escape from prison. Oh,
okay. Right. That's when.
Who was his brother?
The brother was, I think it was James.
Okay, can you get that for us next week? Who was Peter's brother? That was Ted. And we're going to read E, but I want to get back to talking about Herod because we had said something last week that I researched and I got something else. E, they will be involved in events surrounding the second advent of Christ. Evangelists get Matthew 25 and 31, Nadine 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16.
Matthew 25. Why every time when you're in a hurry, it's like everything sticks to you. 25 and 31 says, okay, but this is Jesus speaking. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. Amen.
Okay, they will be involved in events surrounding the second advent of Christ. And what did we just say, the second advent of Christ?
His second coming.
All right.
Right.
Amen. Thank you. Nadine, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16.
Yes. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first.
Amen.
All right. And so when is this supposed to happen?
Nobody knows the day time.
No, I don't mean...
On his second coming.
Right. I don't mean, you know, chronologically, but, you know, when is that going to take place?
Second coming.
All right. You're right. Nobody knows. Jesus doesn't even know.
That's right.
Jesus doesn't even know. Only his Father knows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to make a note. We didn't get back to where we were, which was C. We're going to stop at 3, talking about at his birth and such. But I wanted to get back to what we had talked about Herod last week. I think it was last week, right? Hilda and myself, we were talking about Christ was taken into Egypt. The angels told Joseph that Herod was trying to kill his baby, so he needed to flee and go to Egypt. So this is for both of you. Hilda already answered, but I want to get another opinion. So when they fled to Egypt, when they came back to Jerusalem, what had happened to Herod? Nadine?
Herod was dead.
And he was dead. That's the only safe way to come back. But how was he killed?
How did he die?
Oh, how did Herod die?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay, Evangelist.
His son.
What did you say?
I said that his son killed him when Herod got sick and he was crawling to his throne. He told the son told him, "Well, you're a king. If a king has to walk to his throne and not crawl to his throne." So Herod told the son to give him a hand up to sit on his throne because he didn't want to die on the floor. So the son picked him up and he sat in the king in Herod's seat and he pushed him down and he fell down the stairs and fell dead. So the son killed him. His son killed him.
Okay, that's not what the word says. That's what the movie says.
Right.
That's what the movie that you saw said. That's not what the Bible says.
It sounds like a movie. I'm like,
that's what it was.
And he picked him up and he kicked him
down. Right. That was what the movie did say. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, what did the Bible say?
The Bible said that Herod died and his son became his son became king. It didn't say that he was pushed and fell and, I guess, you know, hurt his head or whatever.
But it
says that
it on the movie.
He was sick
and
he died and his son became king. In other words, well, you said it tonight too, that his son killed him. So that's not what the Bible says. All right. And like I told you, a lot of times the movies enhance what the Bible says to make it entertaining.
Right.
You know, and so they often mislead people if they don't read the word for themselves. That's what I'm saying. All right? So it's entertaining, but it's not what the word says. Okay.
You know, when you do read the word of God and you do look, that's why it's a good idea to know it. Because when you read the word of God and you look at those movies, you'd be like, that's not what happened. Because I was looking at, you know, I'm like, that's not in the Bible.
Right.
They made that up to dramatize it, but
exactly, and that's what they do, not with everything but with a lot of things, to make it, you know, palatable for the audience so that they will want to watch it. They create stuff. It's the imagination of the screenwriter or whoever wrote, you know, the story. It's not what the Bible says, not what God says. So I just wanted to clarify that. Amen. So
Amen.
We stopped at part 3 in relation to the ministry of Christ. And God willing, we'll pick it up next week. Oh, God, it's after 8. We'll pick it up next week. did you guys have fun?
I enjoyed it. Yes.
Oh,
it
I did.
Wonderful.
Even though it was a review. But it was good because we got some more out of it, even though, you know, we went over it. That was wonderful. That was wonderful.
And normally, that's what Pastor does. He, like, we'd be, like, already in another thing, and he'll take us all the way back to the beginning to refresh your mind.
Yeah,
so
here's some interesting facts about King Herod, because he actually died from a combination of chronic kidney disease and a rare infection that caused gangrene of his genitals.
Whoa.
According to new analysis of historical records, it's suggested that the complications of gonorrhea caused Herod's death in 4 BC at age 69. So,
wow.
Well, you know,
that.
They did a lot of unclean things back then.
Listen, they didn't stop. They're still doing unclean things, Evangelist.
I know, but I'm saying, like,
they still
doing
unclean things. So, you know,
right.
they got what do you call it, sexually transmitted diseases and all that, STD.
Mm-hmm.
So they still doing stuff like that. But interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that point out.
Wow.
Thank you. So he wasn't pushed. That's what I'm trying to get clarified.
Yeah, but that's what the movie said. I know that, you know.
was
that's
killed
what they,
by his...
They add stuff to make you very...
That's what we said. He was killed by his... He was killed by his sexual appetite. Amen.
Okay,
that's
amen.
That's what it is. All right, yep. So we're going to pray out, and I'm going to ask Nadine to pray us out and then turn it over to Evangelist and say good night. Thank you, ladies, for participating.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. You're so
thank
welcome.
You.
I really enjoyed it.
Amen.
You can stay out another week,
amen.
Tell him. He can stay
yeah,
out another
on.
Week.
Yeah, y'all should keep on working together.
Don't give him no excuses.
Please. He know what he's supposed to do. You're the shepherd. He's the sheep.
Difficulty, but you know, I finally got it together. I had to working. Google.
Good to hear your voice. Anyway, it's always a pleasure.
It was great. I mean, you know, y'all was having a good time, and that's the main thing. You know, you enjoy yourself in the Lord.
It was fun. It was fun, and we learned some stuff.
Where's God? And learning from each other.
So
and,
since
you know,
you're here, Pastor, can you just take us out? Because I have to run.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm out.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, Sister Barbara, I enjoyed your class tremendously, and we learned so much. You asked the right questions. You delved deep into our brains.
Oh, God bless you, woman of God.
I second
thank
that emotion.
You. Okay. Good night.
Good night,
thank you
everybody.
So much. Love you all.
Shalom.
Shalom. All right.
Shalom.
Bye. Bye.
And on that note, we're going to end our session for tonight. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. And shalom.